This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Conservative commentator and founder of Turning Point USA, Charlie Kirk, has died. President Trump first announcing his death on social media. Kirk was shot during an outdoor speaking event at Utah Valley University. Witnesses described what they heard.
Everyone got down. Everyone was so scared.
I heard a loud bang, which I figured a shot would be a little bit louder. Just one shot straight into Charlie Kirk.
ABC's Aaron Katursky says the suspect remains at large.
There was security with Charlie Kirk. His visits on campuses across the country are often controversial. It appeared to us to be about five or six individuals making up his security detail. Often they're scanning the crowd for weapons at close range, maybe not something off in the distance. And it was his private security detail that appeared to carry Charlie Kirk from the scene, race him away from campus.
Kirk was 31 years old. This is ABC News.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Another major Democratic Party candidate has entered the race for governor in Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Stuart J. Waddles.
The Milwaukee County executive is attempting to appeal to the rest of the state in his campaign announcement video posted this morning.
To the single mom in Eau Claire looking for affordable, dependable child care, I hear you. To the union worker in Sheboygan taking an extra shift today to make the end of the month a little bit easier, I see you. To the dad in Platteville working towards your degree after tucking your kids in goodnight, I am you. I'm David Crowley, and I'm running to be governor for all of us. Wisconsin, let's get to work.
David Crowley formally announced his run for governor, becoming the third Democrat to join the race following Governor Tony Evers' decision not to seek a third term. Crowley released a campaign video connecting his own experience with hardship as a child to the struggles many families still face today.
That boy who was homeless is a homeowner, where my wife Erica and I are raising our three daughters. My story is not unique. My story is Wisconsin's story.
Crowley says he's had success in job creation, cutting carbon emissions, and property tax relief while advocating for greater local government funding. Crowley took aim at Republicans and President Donald Trump, saying their leadership has brought chaos and division to the state. Crowley joins Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez and Ryan Sternad in competing for the Democratic nomination. Republicans Josh Shulman and Bill Berrien have officially declared their bids. Republican Representative Tom Tiffany is expected to announce soon. The primary election will be held in August, with November's general election deciding the next governor. For Civic Media News, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Crowley is hosting an event in La Crosse today, just 2 days after Sarah Rodriguez had an event here in La Crosse as well. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brewers lose in Texas. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers lost to the Texas Rangers today, 6-3. The Rangers completing a sweep of the crew. The last time the Brewers were swept in a three-game series was opening weekend in March in New York against the Yankees. The Brewers had 11 hits but could only manage to score three runs. They have tomorrow off and host the Cardinals Friday night. NFL. Packers making an interesting move, signing wide receiver Christian Watson to a one-year contract extension worth over $13 million. Watson rehabbing that torn ACL he suffered January 5th against the Bears.
I mean, I don't have a timeline as of right now. I mean, I'm just trying to, you know, get back to feeling 100%, doing, you know, everything I need to do out there, and then I'll kind of just let the trainers and everything, you know, let me out. I mean, it's been feeling really good so far. I haven't, you know, had anything, you know, to deal with so far. It's all just been, you know, feeling really good. I'm able to keep on going out there and attacking my rehab, and oh yeah, it's been going real good.
That's the Packers' Christian Watson with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the mid-50s with patchy fog tomorrow morning, then turning mostly sunny, warm for tomorrow afternoon, high in the upper 70s. 80s for the rest of the week and weekend. Next chance of showers and thunderstorms Sunday night into Monday. It's 71 right now.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety.
CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we're recombobulating the news on Thursday. That's right. Dan Schaefer is here, and we're going to be talking about everything coming out of Wisconsin politics, including a huge announcement in the governor's race. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Alboe Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people. This is the Maggie Dawn Show.
They're not there to serve you and me and the family farmer. They're there beholden to billionaires and their corporate overlords.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
You see our nation fraying and fracturing.
This is not normal. This is not the country that I grew up in.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Correct. We know better. We know better.
Clip that.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody, and welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. I am going to get right into our first big, big interview of the afternoon. I am so humbled and privileged to be talking to our first guest today. His name is Norman Eisen, and you may have seen Norm quite recently, either on CNN or MSNBC, but his career goes back a bit before that. He first started out working for the Anti-Defamation League, and then he attended Harvard Law School and had a bit of a famous classmate, a guy named Barack Obama. And then Mr. Eisen went on to serve ultimately as Mr. Obama's White House ethics czar. And in that capacity, he became known as Dr. No, as in, no, you can't do that. That's an ethics problem. Specifically, when folks that worked in the White House were requesting permission to attend conferences that weren't in Washington, D.C., Mr. Eisen famously is quoted as saying, if the conference sounds like fun, you cannot go. And after he worked for Mr. Obama as his White House ethics czar, he was appointed by President Obama to be the ambassador to the Czech Republic. Following his government service, Mr. Eisen has been writing with his colleague Jen Rubin, a former commentator for the Washington Post, who quit in protest of Jeff Bezos's supplication to Donald Trump. He and Ms. Rubin together write The Contrarian. They're speaking this evening at Idea Fest in Madison. And most recently, Mr. Eisen helped found the Democracy Defenders Fund, and it is my great humble privilege to introduce you all to Mr. Norman Eisen, former ambassador. Welcome to the program.
Maggie, it's so great to be with you on behalf of my latest org, the Democracy Defenders Fund, and also here in the state with Jen Rubin on behalf of The Contrarian. And I love the intro to your show. It really made me appreciate my friend Maggie all the more.
Well, we're so happy to have you. And I want to start out with what is in the headlines every week, this week, no exception. The Epstein estate making or providing to the House Oversight Committee quite a lot of documentation. Of course, the infamous birthday book, I've talked about that, which really, I think, is less important for what it specifically says, but quite important as yet another piece of evidence that an everyday American can see that demonstrates the intimate friendship between Donald Trump and Jeffrey Epstein. But what Epstein is really about is, one, the way that the system failed his victims, now survivors,
yes,
and the way that the system is continuing to, in effect, cover up what many are very concerned about, both liberals and conservatives, Democrats, Republicans, independents. Folks want to know, why is the Epstein controversy such an important insight into government accountability and transparency?
Maggie, in my view, the Epstein scandal, including the cover-up of the Trump-Epstein files, why won't they release them? In my view, it's about Donald Trump being too close to the rich and powerful and the most vulnerable in society getting hurt. And that's the story of Donald Trump's corruption in the White House. Over and over again, we see it with the big, brutal betrayal bill, where they've given tax cuts to millionaires and billionaires who don't need them, billions of dollars in tax cuts at the expense of average folks' health care and food assistance, jobs. That makes no sense at all. While I was here in Wisconsin, I just was hearing about how everybody they fired at the Small Business Administration and how small businesses are suffering as a result of that. And you're seeing it in this corruption and its impacts. You're seeing that in the economy. You're an economist, so you don't know what we're seeing in the jobs creation, the manufacturing jobs creation, and the statistics. The health of our economy is plummeting.
Yes.
Because of Donald Trump's foolishness. You could add, in addition to the big brutal betrayal bill, the tariffs, and his needless instability that he's inflicting on our economy. It's just awful. And so that is all the Epstein scandal, the corruption, and the economic harm are all of a piece.
Yeah, Norm, you're pointing out two things that are through lines in everything Trump 2.0, its regime, stands for. And that is promises broken to folks that have bosses and receive paychecks in this country and work hard and save and try to do the right thing and deserve a fair shot at success for them and their children, as well as breaking those promises in service of whom, in service of whose interests. And in virtually every element of the Trump regime in this second iteration, the interests that are being served are first and foremost Donald Trump's, whether it's his wealth or his power. But then more broadly, he is serving only the wealthiest, the billionaire overlord class, as I like to call it, like Elon Musk, and now, of course, Mr. Zuckerberg and others. And in so doing, when you're not serving the people that were your base, you've got to lie to them about things. What should people be thinking, Norm, when they hear the president or his spokespeople and surrogates? How should people ferret out or seek the truth when they hear Donald Trump and, for example, Secretary Bessent saying everything's great, just wait a little longer? We're hearing that everything's great from apparently people that aren't talking to some of the news outlets that aren't legitimate economists. How do people ferret out the truth when there is such audacious lying on a daily basis?
Well, the watchword is to start with sources that folks trust. Obviously, the listeners to the Maggie Dawn Show have come to trust you. I like to think we have almost 600,000 subscribers on The Contrarian. We're a source of truth for them. I do think mainstream outlets, there still are some who get it right. I rely on the New York Times. I know not everybody agrees with me on that, but I find that to be a reliable source. And then you have to compare and contrast. And the other part of it is, if it comes out of Trump's mouth, it's probably a lie, a half-truth, or a distortion. So he's no longer entitled to the presumption of truth. And that's a part of it as well. You have to consider the messenger.
You have to consider the messenger. I think people are struggling to suss out what is reliable. And when they can't touch and feel things, it's very hard to convince someone that, whether it's the New York Times or, for example, I read the Wall Street Journal, not its editorial page, but it's straight up reporting. That is, I believe, factually reliable. Which is why I come back to the birthday book, because someone can touch and feel that. So when it comes to either the Epstein scandal or what people are experiencing every day when they go to pay their monthly bills and they're looking at their grocery bills not going down, when their kids may still find buying a house out of reach, or folks themselves are finding it out of reach, when people are maybe experiencing some of what I'm going to call that cognitive dissonance. He promised me X and Y, but I am feeling and experiencing the opposite of that. How should people try to resolve it? I'm talking about folks that may have been inclined to support Donald Trump, not the hard magas, but the folks that may have been inclined to support him. And now, right, they're in this moment of cognitive dissonance. How do we encourage people to lean into that, to trust their gut?
Well, there's a small number, relatively speaking, of those who made the difference in this election, Maggie, because if 120,000 people had flipped their vote in three states, including your state of Wisconsin, in 2024, Kamala Harris would be the president now.
Yes.
So it actually, even the Electoral College was a larger margin. The crew whose cognitive dissonance really matters is can be a pretty small group. I think what they need to do is, you know, the old joke, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes?
Right.
Well, they have to trust the evidence of their eyes. They go to the grocery store. The food is more expensive. They go to, they send their kids off to school. They don't know the anxiety, the violence that is going on in our schools. They see for themselves the housing affordability crisis. Can they afford to have the apartment or the house that they need? They look at inflation. Has inflation abated? So I think the places where Donald Trump's chaos, corruption, and cronyism, I notice in your introduction, you like
alliteration. Yes.
they should look at that and what they're experiencing in their own lives, and they'll see Donald Trump is not delivering for them. And instead, there's these performances. He's putting the National Guard in our cities. That's not making our cities more safe. So I think we need to pay attention to evidence of rise and the trusted interlocutors. And there's indications, Maggie, independents are doing that.
Yes.
Donald Trump's popularity is plummeting with independents. So that's why it's so important for people to look at all the evidence and come to their own conclusions. But boy, the Trump administration has been a tremendous flop on every dimension of delivering for the American people as opposed to rich and powerful.
Folks, that is former ambassador to the Czech Republic, former White House ethics czar, Norm Eisen. We're going to return on the other side. We're going to talk about how our Freedom of Information Act and our Sunshine Laws are absolutely essential to government accountability, and the seemingly never-ending cycle of Democratic presidents saving failed Republican policies. And the beat goes on. Stay with us. Norm's coming back. I'm coming back. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Moms and dads, do you wish you could know where your kids' shoes are at all times? Now you can with Skechers' newest Apple AirTag compatible sneakers, Find My Skechers. There's a clever hidden AirTag compartment under the shoe's insole. It's sleek, secure, and your child can't feel or see it. Then you can check where your kids' shoes are on the Find My app. Plus, they're available for boys and girls. Get Find My Skechers at Skechers.com, a Skechers store near you, or wherever kids' shoes are sold. Apple AirTags sold separately.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My name is Chuck Collins. I'm the great-grandson of the meatpacker Oscar Mayer and a member of the Patriotic Millionaires, a collection of wealthy Americans who share a profound concern about the dangers of concentrated wealth and power in America. Now, the fact is, you may not care how much money another person has, but you likely do care how much power another person has, especially if they're using that power to rig the rules of the economy to make themselves richer and you poorer. You see, there is a point where money is no longer money, it's power. And when rich people use their money to drown out the voices of everyday people, it threatens the safety and security of us all. Patriotic millionaires don't want to live in a country with a few extremely rich people controlling everything, leaving millions of people struggling to just get by. Luckily, we have a solution. Tax the rich, tax the rich, tax the rich. I'm Chuck Collins. I'm a patriotic millionaire, and I approve this message.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. This half hour, I'm talking to former Ambassador Norm Eisen. He is also one of the founders of CREW, Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And currently, he has been doing us all Americans, yeoman's work, helping us hold this administration accountable through his organization, the Democracy Defenders Fund. Welcome back, Norm. You and the Democracy Defenders Fund have been really at the vanguard and forefront pushing this administration by using Freedom of Information Act requests. Tell us about what that looks like and what you all have been up to.
The pillar of American governance includes a strong element of transparency. How can you hold the government accountable to do the people's bidding unless you know what they're doing? That's in a law, the Freedom of Information Act. It entitles every American to demand information. Like, for example, we've demanded the Trump Epstein files. What's being hidden? Why was Ghislaine Maxwell moved for her participation in Epstein's crimes? That kind of information. I started doing this work when I was at CREW. We've continued it here. We've done dozens and dozens of FOIA requests. And we're in court, Maggie, litigating these requests, because that's the other part of freedom of information law. If the government doesn't give it to you, it's so important that Congress pass the law. You or I or any American can go to court. I have over 125 legal matters and cases at the Democracy Defenders Fund. I probably go to court against Trump a little more than average. But we have gone to court to demand this Epstein information. And we're using FOIA there and in other ways to hold the government to account.
That's one of the things that it was really designed for, regular Americans to be able to access documents that evidence the inner workings and thinkings of government when it comes to matters of public interest. It's that simple. These should be requests that can be granted. I certainly, in my capacity as Milwaukee County's Corporation Counsel, responded to these all of the time. We have an open records law here in state statute.
Yeah.
And it wasn't complicated. If there's not an ongoing, highly sensitive investigation, these very narrow exceptions, my routine advice to the responding departments was, if you have the files, turn them over.
That's
it. We're happy to review them. Yeah, it's not that hard.
It's not that complicated. Look, there are going to be files where, you know, it's an attorney-client privilege, right. But that's not an issue because Trump's not a lawyer and Epstein's not a lawyer. So let's have the Trump-Epstein files. We know they exist in the federal government. You know, if there's victims' names, take out the victims' names. But now that we have the birthday book, I mean, who is Trump fooling? Are you mean to tell me that decades ago somebody forged the letter that sounds like Donald Trump, the signature looks like Donald Trump, the drawing, we know Donald Trump made doodles and drawings. You mean to tell me somebody forged it decades ago and put it in this book because they went in a time machine that he would be president in 2025? Give me a break.
Yeah, the unbelievability of the whole thing, the line of bullpucky that he's trying to serve up to the American public is sort of astounding in its audacity. It's worked in many other ways, but this was such a critical issue for his base, starting in his first administration and, of course, becoming more of a point of emphasis, if you will, in the 2024 race. You got Mike Johnson claiming he's an FBI informant on Saturday or Friday, and by Monday he's saying, oh, I used the wrong word. It just seems so bizarre that the obvious, sometimes Occam's razor, is a handy rule of thumb to go back to, right? Like the simple and obvious answer.
Explanation. Yes. Donald Trump knew what Epstein was up to. Everybody in Epstein's circle knew it. Donald Trump joked to the press, Maggie, admiringly, that Epstein likes women as much as I do, including, I'm paraphrasing, on the younger side. I mean, why do we need the birthday book to understand Donald Trump's role here? Let's get those Epstein Trump files and let's understand, and this is the thrust we've done now, more than 10 of these FOIA requests, and we're in court litigating them. Why are they hiding the Trump Epstein files? Why did they move Ghislaine Maxwell after she made a statement exonerating Trump, a known liar? DOJ itself has called her a liar in the past. Give me a break.
The other thing that's notable about the Ghislaine Maxwell transcripts with which they released, and I actually did some live reading of them on this very program.
Wow.
What stood out to me was, either Todd Blanche is the worst lawyer that has ever done a deposition, or something else was afoot. Ambassador Eisen, we've got to leave it there. Thank you for being in Wisconsin. Thanks for coming on this program. We can't wait to check in with you again very soon, sir. Folks, you're going to want to stay tuned. I'm going to continue to peel back the layers and why it seems the Democrat presidents seem to clean up the messes created by Republicans, especially when it comes to economic matters, and how the Supreme Court may actually be saving Donald Trump from himself soon? All coming up next, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matt and Air on Air.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Gas prices in Wisconsin stay under $3 per gallon. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Average gas prices took a slight dip in Wisconsin, dropping 2.2 cents over the last week. The average on Monday is $2.95 in the state. This is 7.9 cents per gallon higher than a month ago, but over 10 cents lower than this time last year. Prices have been volatile in the Midwest in recent weeks. A refinery in Indiana experienced a temporary outage because of severe weather. With the restart of BP's Whiting refinery, Great Lakes states saw significant relief. The transition to winter gasoline is just a week away for most areas, and OPEC Plus announced an increase in oil production starting in October. This could help keep oil prices lower for longer.
Gas prices in La Crosse have also stayed under $3 per gallon this past week, dropping slightly from a week ago. The area organization that puts together honor flights for military veterans is seeking donations. Freedom Honor Flight will make its 33rd trip on September 13th to Washington, D.C. To date, the Freedom Honor Flight has taken over 3,200 veterans to the nation's capital from within a 100-mile radius of La Crosse. But now the group is seeking donations to continue the flights, which currently cost about $185,000. Over 600 veterans remain on a waiting list. To learn more or to donate, visit freedomhonorflight.org. After showers clear out early, it'll be mostly sunny today with highs in the upper 70s across the Cooley region. Tomorrow, highs will be right around 80 degrees. On Friday, we'll get into the low 80s, and by Saturday, we could see high temperatures in the mid to upper 80s. We'll have more details coming up in our Civic Media forecast. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now from your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Neil Diamond fans might want to start making plans for the holidays. Song Sung Blue, named after the Neil Diamond hit, finally has a release date and will hit theaters nationwide on Christmas Day, the perfect day to give us a reprieve from Christmas tunes. The film is based on a true story of a Wisconsin-based couple who formed a Neil Diamond tribute band called Thunder and Lightning. Mike and Claire Sardina were down on their luck musicians living in Milwaukee. Once they started performing together and singing those feel-good Diamond tunes, they became a local phenomenon. The film is based on the 2008 documentary of the same name by Greg Coe. The film has serious star power. The cast is led by Hugh Jackman and Kate Hudson, with an ensemble that includes the Sopranos' Michael Imperioli, Ella Anderson, and Jim Belushi. Song Sung Blue is directed by Craig Brewer. Go to YouTube and check out the trailer, waiting with bated breath to find out if Sweet Caroline will be in the film. Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the...
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear tonight, a low in the mid-50s with patchy fog tomorrow morning, then turning mostly sunny, warm for tomorrow afternoon, high in the upper 70s. 80s for the rest of the week and weekend. Next chance of showers and thunderstorms Sunday night into Monday. Right now it's 73.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Oh, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio.
On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Heather Heil of the Green Bay Children's Museum takes a John Candy quiz. Then I'm joined by Ethan Ogilvy, writer of the new rom-com, The Threesome, which is just hitting theaters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome, everybody, and welcome back. If you're rejoining us, it is Wednesday. It is 4:30. And that means it is time for one of my very favorite segments of the week, Broad Appeal, where I interview women who are elected officials, political thinkers, organizers, and activists across the state and beyond to bring you a little segment we like to call Broad Appeal, because broads have broad appeal. And again, I mean that word with deep reverential respect. She is a frequent contributor, good friend of the show now, a good friend of all of yours. She is, of course, the one, the only, the fabulous Senator Kristen Dotzler-Alfheim. Welcome back to the show. It's great to have you with us.
Happy to be one of the broads.
Me too. And we can start with something that I think all Democrats in Wisconsin are behind, at least all elected state legislative Democrats in the state agree with. And this is this incredible package of bills. It's four bills that together comprise what you all are calling the Build a Stronger Wisconsin bill package. Let's talk about what's in it, and then let's talk about its odds for success, and especially why it's so important for every single person in this state, if they earn a paycheck, if they've got a boss, if they're trying to save to get to retirement, to help their kids go to college. It is important for every single worker, no matter what your political persuasion. So what are these four key bills that compose this broader bill package?
Well, the cool thing about the Democratic caucus is that we believe that working families in Wisconsin should find success. You know, you shouldn't have to say that, and yet here we are. This is a great example of the entire caucus coming together with four bills that are very straightforward in making an impact at the kitchen tables of working Wisconsinites. We're not taking a poll as to who voted for who. We're just saying that workers in Wisconsin is who we should be rooting for. If we help the workers in Wisconsin find success, then we will therefore by default be helping everything else in our economy find success. It is the root of the foundation of who we are. Give people a fair opportunity to earn the wage that they deserve in a safe, equitable opportunity. It's not rocket science. It's common sense that the bulk of the people in Wisconsin should appreciate that we are trying to make sure that everybody has a right to get out there, have a fair shot at finding success in this thing we call the American dream. It's just not that hard.
Yeah, this is one of those issue areas that for many years I've struggled to understand why the conservative viewpoint on some of the things that we're going to talk about in this package, why it has such a vice grip in especially what used to be broadly discussed as Republican Party politics. And it's this: if you are willing to work, and we can say 40 hours, maybe we should say 50 hours, maybe we should say 60 hours, whatever it is, of good, honest, hard work in a week, you should not have to worry about whether or not you've got healthcare that covers your regular healthcare needs and whether or not that's going to be enough money from those 40, 50, 60 hours of honest weekly work to have a roof over your head and maybe, oh my gosh, maybe send your kids to college. You know, and when I talk with folks of the greatest generation, Kristen, especially those who have a tendency towards a more conservative vantage point, I often hear invocation of the work hard, do good, people should be okay. And I say, that worked for you and a single paycheck. We had family supporting jobs, but the people that are doing that today are not able to achieve what folks in previous generations were able to achieve. And that, to me, is the very foundation of our social contract. You should, if you're willing to work hard, you should be okay. And when I look at this package of bills, I see that idea that if this social contract that I don't think anybody, conservative or liberal, disagrees with, these are laws meant to try to ensure that that basic promise is held true. So tell us about the particular elements of it, Kristen.
Well, there's a number of them. And I think that the angst that comes in these bills has to do with, you know, the labor forward. Listen, I think that the idea of us being supportive of people having the ability to work together to get the best opportunity at their employer in terms of, you know, utilizing the union concept, the idea of having, if an organization, one of the bills that I really appreciate, when Act 10, repealing Act 10 is a big deal. What Act 10 did, and this is the detail that I think a lot of people miss, Act 10 made it so that it wasn't an automatic that shops that had unions, automatic membership enrollment. But what people don't realize is that the unions are still responsible for negotiating the contracts. They are still responsible for mediations between an employee and the management or the ownership, even though that person may now not be a dues-paying member. They are still on the hook to negotiate for them and to support them in a mediator-type situation. It could be a $10,000 event. So that's not fair. And I think that in Wisconsin, the bulk of us believe in fairness. We believe that if you are going to get something, you probably should participate in the cost of having it. If you're not going to participate in the cost of having it, then you should not expect any benefit from those that are. And by repealing this Act 10, it sets that back to a fair standpoint. If you want labor to represent you and get you the best possible contract with your employer, then you should be a dues-paying member to get that benefit. You can't have it both ways. And that's really one of the things that Act 10 created. I think that's not right. Prevailing wage is another one. Why would we not want to set our contracts up for success of our most local families in a proper wage? Why would we not want to expect the proper wage be paid and focused in your local area as opposed to bringing in a contractor from, let's say, Minnesota, who might save us 15 cents on the dollar? But when they receive that money, they're taking it back to Minnesota and they're going to spend it over there, as opposed to reinvesting it in our community for generations to come. These are simple, straightforward bills that the political world has turned it into this crazy thing. Like this is so, no, this is just good common sense, economic cycles, economic theory of keeping the dollars local, taking care of your own families. Who in Wisconsin should be voting against the success of your neighbors? No one. This is, no, trust me, I believe in mutually beneficial relationships. I believe that a labor force and a leadership force or corporation must find success together. It can't be one-sided. We can't have contract negotiations that are so bad that the business can't afford to be here, right? That's valid to say. At the same point, we can't have it one-sided on the other side. We can't have the owners of the organization having all of the control. Corporate buyback, multi-double-digit increases back-to-back, and yet say they can't afford to give a reasonable cost of living increase to their people. We have to rebalance that relationship. It was balanced, and now it has been shifted out of balance for two decades. We have to bring it back in balance. Again, mutual success is what our goal is here.
Folks, if you're just joining us, I'm talking with State Senator Kristen Dossler-Alfheim, State Senate 18, State Senate District 18 in the northeast central, I guess I would call it, area of the state, covering Appleton, the Fox River Valley, Neenah, Oshkosh, that whole area. We're talking today about a package of bills being proposed by state legislative Democrats that include four separate provisions, four separate bills, again, together a package that really is about enabling workers to continue to exercise what is a most fundamental right, so fundamental that our framers put it in the First Amendment, and that is the right to organize. And State Senator, just, I want to be very clear, when we talk about right to work law, which is the, I think, very misleading term that's been used in the state of Wisconsin and elsewhere to talk about a union busting protection for employers, that it can be separated, though they are intimately related, from Act 10, which specifically removed basically almost all collective bargaining rights from all public employees, except for fire and police within the public sector here in the state of Wisconsin. If bargaining is good for some, for example, fire and police folks and other public safety folks that work in government, if bargaining rights are good for some, they should be good for all. And again, to me, some of the justifications for some of these, what I'm going to call union busting corporate protectionist measures by Republicans in this state, what you can tell that the theory is a fig leaf because of the fact that they preserve these bargaining rights in full for fire and police unions. From a labor theory and labor fairness perspective, and also corporate responsibility perspective, there is no meaningful justification for those protections or those more pro-worker protections in one element and not everywhere else. So what we're talking about, again, Senator, and we'll have about a little bit over a minute for you to clarify and add some more fat to this bone. So we're talking about laws that aren't meant to create an imbalance. We're talking about this package of four bills to remove laws enacted while legislative Republicans in our state government had control of the state house as well in the form of Scott Walker, and were put in place as corporate protections. These are corporate protections. These are not working people protections. And we need to go back before those laws, tipping the scales unfairly in favor of corporations and employers, and just get us back to status quo ante, where workers could fully express their First Amendment rights to organize across a number of different sectors, industries, both government and private sector.
Now, my Republican colleagues are going to jump all over this as if we are anti-capitalism, anti-corporate. No, this is the Fox Valley. We have some of the most beautiful international corporations on the planet. We need them to find success here. This is not an anti-business set of bills. This is about a pro-people bill that levels the playing field so that both the organization and the families who make the success for them can find success together. We can't ignore one or the other. And I think it's fair to say, in the last 15 years, it has been very much focused on the corporate success at the consequence of the working families. There's no question about that. And we have to rebalance to bring us back into square so that we are all finding success together once again.
And that, to me, is the key here. Our economy doesn't grow. We don't do better as a state. Our tax revenues don't grow. If we have both very good economic engine growth for the businesses themselves and business owners that reap a goodly amount of that upside, but also the workers as well. It needs to be shared prosperity. These bills seeking to bring us back to a place where that sharing is indeed expressed through workers being able to collectively bargain. Did you know that State Senator Dassler Alfheim was also a certified financial planner? So we're going to zoom out. We're going to look at the economy from the top down, given some of the action over the past 7 days and that disappointing jobs report. So stay tuned. What it means to you in this bigger economic sense, coming up next with State Senator Kristen Dassler Alfheim.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Did the dog catch the car? We have election denier legal trouble involving voting dogs, former election officials claiming they're political prisoners, and 2020 fake electors who claim they didn't know what they were doing was wrong. A Costa Mesa, California woman trying to demonstrate mail-in voter fraud was arraigned September 9th for fraudulently registering her dog Maya to vote, then casting a mail ballot in two elections in 2022. Laura Lee Urich self-reported her scheme in 2024 and posted a picture of Maya with an I voted sticker. She faces up to 6 years in prison. Bridge, Michigan reports that a circuit court judge dismissed felony charges against Michigan's 15 GOP fake electors September 2nd. The judge ruled the state failed to prove the electors knew that signing and sending the alternative slate of electors to the U.S. Senate was illegal. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel has not ruled out an appeal. Colorado Newsline reports that Mesa County Clerk Tina Peters, convicted by a jury of four felonies relating to the tampering of her county's election machines, filed a federal habeas corpus claim asking to be released on bond pending appeal. Her attorney calls Peters a political prisoner. The state argues the federal government doesn't have jurisdiction and the case should be dismissed. We have links to the local reporting at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you too can live and serve part-time, close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody, and welcome if you're just joining us. We are in the 4:30 half an hour block on Wednesday, and that means it is our segment we like to call Broad Appeal, where I interview women that are holding elected office, helping organize, and activists and other political leaders from across the state. We are joined by a frequent guest, one of my favorite guests, State Senator Kristen Dossler-Alfheim, State Senate District 18. So happy to have you here. We've been talking about a package of bills that all Wisconsin state Democratic legislators are co-sponsoring that basically seeks to restore our state's laws to what they were before Scott Walker and Republicans got a hold of them and started putting in all sorts of protections for what? Big corporations and employers, which I don't think if we looked at wealth inequality, anybody could reasonably argue with a straight face are actually needed. Now, if you didn't know this, you are learning it here, that the senator is also a financial planner and provides folks with retirement advice and investment advice. And so we've talked about what the laws are here in our state, right? A bit of what I'm going to call a microcosm. And now I wanted to zoom out because last week we got an absolutely devastating jobs report. We continue to hear folks from the Trump administration, including the Commerce Secretary, a guy I like to call Howard Ludnick, the Nudnick, stay with me here, and Scott Bessent, basically lying almost every day on national news broadcasts about the impacts of Trump's tariff terror and the uncertainty it has injected into the global economy, but into every market segment and sector. For a short time, it seemed to me, Senator, that businesses were doing a really yeoman job at, frankly, absorbing some of the cost of those tariffs. Creative accounting, creative supply management, trying to stockpile components that they needed to assemble final products, or just stockpiling stock of product to try to see if this was actually going to last or if this was more political theater. And while Donald Trump has put in place and then undone many, many, many tariffs, or put in place a super high tariff and then lowered it, what people generally refer to as Trump always chickens out, Taco Trump, we have the highest tariff level that we have seen in decades, with no articulated purpose or objective that these tariffs are serving. So we don't know when they might be reduced or what metric has to be achieved as to when they will be reduced. And so now what we are seeing is that more longer term uncertainty, and I think a bit of concern about, is there any through line? Is there even any cogent theory pushing or motivating Donald Trump's economic policy? And the markets are generally saying, we can't quite figure this one out.
Yeah.
And so corporations are holding on to more cash. They have basically ground hiring to a complete halt. I mean, jobs, new job creates at 22,000 is basically a stalled economy. The upside for some of us, if we've got consumer debt, is interest rates are likely to come down in the next cycle. But I wanted to ask you, you talk to people that are trying to save, that are trying to think about succession planning for their businesses, trying to help their kids maybe buy a house or get through college or university. What are you hearing from your clients? And are they as nervous as many of the CEOs of our country's largest companies appear to be?
Yeah, I mean, I talk to clients every day. I talk to business owners every day. The benefit of my job is that I get to learn a lot and hear a lot of different sides of the story. And from a client perspective, you know, if my average client is probably 63 years old, right? Their questions, I can't answer. The questions are, what's going to happen? Is it good? Is it bad? And the answer is, we don't know. One of the biggest dangers in the market is legislative risk. In the corporate world, if a business doesn't know, if they don't trust the long haul, they're going to hold back. They're going to hold back on projects. They don't know whether it's going to be okay to move forward this way or that way. So in essence, they hold back. I talked to a beautiful, massive construction organization worldwide, and their programs that are booked out years in advance, the projects they have, they're having to hold back because they don't know the outcome, the supplies, the cost, the goods that they need. All of these issues matter. They also add in the fact that housing, childcare, are also hurting them locally. So this is corporate America saying that they're not sure. They want to believe, they want good things to happen, but they have to hold back because they don't know the outcome. Instability at the executive level is a huge issue in corporate America. That trickles down to every family, because every family is now looking at their nest egg. Is the market going to be stable? Are we going to have more volatility? Are interest rates going up, down, or sideways? How much is the down payment of my next house going to cost? All of these things are related. So if you think that executive level decisions or chaotic decision making isn't impacting you as a person, you're wrong. If you think the tariffs are not impacting you, all you have to do is drive by a reader board of Bergstrom Automotive. And when they say basically pre-tariff sale, that is very clear, straight line to this tariff is going to cost you more money. It's not a political statement. It's just a truth. I have an organization here in Appleton that I use, and they are an import, right? I just had a car accident. I had to replace my car. They don't know. the supply chain issues, there are no 2026 models coming out for some brands of car. None. They're skipping the entire model year because they can't get the pieces that they need to build the car. That has a trickle effect to consumers because now there are fewer cars available. Of what are available, they're probably the higher end vehicles. Who's going to buy that car?
Right.
So everything matters. And I try very hard to be a big picture, find the happy in this. But we have to acknowledge the truth of the situation. Instability at the top causes instability at the bottom.
The bad stuff trickles down while the wealth trickles up. Folks, we're going to leave it there.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Police in Utah say the suspect is not in custody yet following today's fatal shooting of Charlie Kirk. It conflicts with an earlier post from FBI Director Kash Patel saying that a suspect has been taken into custody. The founder of the conservative group Turning Point USA was speaking at an outdoor event at Utah Valley University today.
The shooting happened before a crowd of hundreds on the campus of Utah Valley University, where Charlie Kirk was kicking off a fall tour of college campuses. Kirk's on-campus events would feature him engaging with members of the audience who often espoused views contrary to his. It was during a back and forth on mass shootings allegedly committed by transgender people that the shooting occurred. The bullet struck the 31-year-old near his throat. Kirk's security team quickly swept in and carried him away. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News.
President Trump ordered flags at half-staff through Sunday. Both Republicans and Democrats have denounced the killing and latest political violence. This is ABC News.